Tony, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I always go to your website, and then I Google you just to get all the information that I may want to talk about. You know, and it's funny, I wanted to ask you a question. And seeing Barack Obama interviewed by on TV during the Super Bowl by O'Reilly, and they both brought up how they lose their privacy because of their jobs, and it's the nature of the beast. And when I Googled you, the first thing that came up was a divorce. And obviously, I don't want to talk about your divorce. That happened a long time ago, but it made me want to answer, are people in your business too much? Is it really a problem not having your privacy?
Well, I mean, it's one of the things that when you decide to run for office that you have to accept that you're a public figure, a public servant, and people have the right to know probably more than they do about your neighbor. Does it go too far sometimes? I think absolutely it does, but it's one of the things that if you want to undertake a public service, you just need to understand that all of that is fair game.
Well, what's going over in Cairo, Egypt, and in Egypt as a whole is of grave concern to many folks. How does it affect the United States and perhaps us back here in Michigan?
Well, I mean, any time that you have a country like that in turmoil, it adds tension around the world. That specifically has some issues regarding the Suez Canal, which means the movement of commerce and oil. A lot of oil flows through the Suez Canal, and what that means to oil-producing countries in the area. And unfortunately, the world still consumes a lot of Middle East oil, and that, in turn, has an impact on what happens back here at home.
So what will be your efforts in regards to this situation?
Well, my job as the chairman of the Intelligence Committee is to keep tabs on what happens around the world and make sure that our intelligence folks are getting it right and have the resources to get it right and are doing it according to the law and the Constitution. So we've been watching that, and then we decipher how that impacts the policy making. And my concern in Egypt is that if we completely do a hands-off approach to this, the Muslim Brotherhood has an opportunity where there is chaos to step in and fill the void, and they certainly have extremist views and would, I don't think, would be friendly to the United States if they were to come to power in Egypt. And there are lots of secular folks. Matter of fact, this whole movement was secular, meaning these were students who wanted jobs and employment and better economics and a more open society. All of that was secular-based. It was not Islamic-based. So I think the United States needs to play a role in developing a transition, or promoting, more importantly, a transition here that includes all of these secular groups that got this whole thing started, so that they have the ability to be able to compete in elections and have a stake in their own government.
Let's talk about health care. Obviously, the administration suffered a setback in Florida with a judge's ruling, and it looks like this case will probably go to the Supreme Court. To be fair to you, there have been many bills that you have voted for because they benefited the state, they benefited your district, but they went against the grain in regards to the Republican Party and the folks that are a part of your party. But this is an issue that you're not in favor of, and it looks like it's not going to have a chance in the Senate, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Few things are happening right now because of the passage of that law. Doctors are refusing to take new Medicare patients. That's happening now. Premiums have gone up in direct relation to the new costs imposed by this law. That's happening now, and that means and companies are seeking waivers not have to follow the law, because they say if they have to follow the law, they're going to have to drop coverage. And they've already given waivers for some five employees or employers who impact 5 million people. So, you know, what this constant notion of, well, it's going to get better, what it's doing to the system now is worse. And the number one reason, Tony, people can't get health care is cost. And so by raising the cost in the way that they did and putting so much uncertainty into the cost, it's again, raising rates in health care, but it's also slowing down any economic growth. So that's why I argued we better start over. This thing is its premise was wrong, and the premise was the government needs to run this whole thing in order for it to be efficient, which I argue is a dichotomy from the start.
Should everybody in America have access to health care?
I think they should have access to health care, absolutely, and there's a way to do that. And again, the one impediment to access is cost. So we've got to make sure that we do something that, A, allows people to have access through programs. Now, they're all not going to look the same. When you say health care, that doesn't mean every plan should look exactly the same. It shouldn't. We don't do car insurance that way. We don't do house insurance that way. We don't do life insurance that way. None of it quite looks the same. And health care should be the same way. Sometimes you can afford a Cadillac plan, and sometimes you can afford a more scaled back plan. What this does is mandate that everybody has to buy a Cadillac plan that isn't very efficient. And that's what that's where this whole problem and the whole premise of their solution, I argue, was completely wrong, and it's doing more harm than it is good right now.
Let's say the Supreme Court strikes this down and we're back at square one. What would be your plan to get insurance to families and to children who can't afford health insurance on their own?
Yeah, there's a couple of things we can do. One is that we need to force insurance companies to compete. Right now, they don't have to. I can get in my car and drive to Indianapolis. I can buy a car. I can buy my house insurance. I can buy life insurance, optical insurance. I cannot buy Blue Cross Blue Shield of Indiana health insurance. It's against the law. And so that means that companies in the state of Michigan don't have to compete against lower prices and better products anywhere else in the country, and I just think it's wrong. And we know that that is the one thing that we can do to force them to compete. And by the way, insurance companies don't like this. They like having a captive market, that it will lower prices. And again, the number one impediment is prices, so we can take down prices there. High-risk pools, and I'm a cancer survivor, so I worry about pre-existing conditions. It's a great and economical way to bring down the cost of insurance and still have coverage for high-dollar individuals. And think about it. If an insurance agent comes to you, Tony, and says, you've got 10 people on your staff working for you, I'm going to have to figure out that maybe one of those people has $1 million cost to me, and the average of those 10 people will be just about $3,000 a year. So your premium has to be based on that higher amount, and that raises costs for everyone. And, you know, at the end of the day, the 10 of you may not use even the $3,000, but you still have to pay for that risk. So what a high-risk pool does is says once you hit a $250,000 cap in your exposure, you roll over into a high-risk pool, which means that from $250,000 to whatever it is, you're covered. And we do that with auto insurance in the state of Michigan, and we do it in other places around the country. It has great success. The problem is you have to get more people in it. So if we did that, again, there's another thing that would lower prices and make sure that people aren't exposed to these huge medical bills.
What can be done to eliminate these laws to open up competition?
Well, we tried to do it in the debate, and unfortunately, again, when they came with the premise of this, the premise was that the whole thing is so bad that the government has to run it. And when you do that, this notion of across-state line competition got lost out because that would fundamentally change the direction of the bill that they proposed. And so that's one of the reasons I keep saying we need to go back and undo this thing so that we can try this more competitive state so that we can lower rates before we ask the federal government to basically run and pick and select our health care. And we're already seeing the negative consequences of that today.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this works its way through the court. I'm surprised that it's not going to at least create more activity in the Senate. I know that's controlled by the Democrats, but it seems like the American people, if you will, and I don't want to speak for them, but if you look at the news everywhere, if you look at the research, if you look at the polls, a lot of people are not in favor of this.
Yeah, they're not. And we had two federal court rulings that said it was unconstitutional for the federal government to develop a commercial product and then mandate that you must buy it. Two federal judges ruled that was unconstitutional. And I think on the face of it, Americans get that the government isn't going to run something that is going to impact 300 million Americans every single day and do it well. And so I just inherently Americans know that. And that's where I think they got crosswise. And that's why I'm hoping that we can get to some real common sense fixes so that we can have the ability to start over and to do it in a way that reduces costs, you know, it maintains quality, and allows more people to have access to health care.
Yeah, but we keep coming back to is, say, if this is repeal, what happens to those people who really need it now in the interim of finding something else new?
Well, and that's the great point. There is not one new benefit that somebody got today. The health care, people who don't have health care today didn't get health care this year. They won't get it until 2014. The problem, and that's the problem. So you're not taking away a product that somebody got this year. They didn't get anything this year, and they won't get anything next year, and they won't get anything the following year. But all of the costs of the plan start now. The new taxes starts now. There's a new tax on everything a doctor touches in their office. If your doctor, if she gets a new stethoscope, there's a new tax on it, tongue depressors, everything. All that starts. So it adds cost to the system, and not one benefit is being paid out. So that's my argument as well, is that do this now before you get into this tangled web where people get locked into a system that's so influenced by the government the private sector can't compete, and now you've got this bifurcated healthcare system that doesn't work and is way too expensive. And by the way, the deficit spending on this thing is fast approaching $1 trillion, more than we've already done. That worries me as much as anything in this bill.
And we've got two more questions for Congressman Mike Rogers on the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320 WILS. Thank you so much for transitioning into the budget deficit. There is a lot of concern about that. What is going to be done to attack that in the short term?
Well, in the short term, we hope to take somewhere between, say, $100 and $300 billion out of last year's budget. And remember, the budget that was passed last year, when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker and Harry Reid, the Majority Leader, and the President, Barack Obama, was President, we're paying for that this year. That bill was passed, and now we're paying those bills this year. We're going to try to go back and take a big chunk out of that. And we're trying to get some concessions from the president on future spending. And it was exponential. In the last 2 years, discretionary spending in the government budget, so that would be anything other than Social Security and Medicare, grew 84%. 84%. It's unsustainable. And at the current budget rate that was passed last year, 40 cents out of every dollar has to be borrowed. 40 cents, and that means we go to China and in places like that don't like us very much and want to compete with us and have to borrow money from them just to pay our light bills here in America, and that's just wrong. And so we're going to seek some structural changes. We're going to cut from last year's budget, at least propose it in the House. Now we still have to get the Senate and the President to agree, and fundamentally change this path of growth for the United States government so that we have something to provide the next generations of Americans.
And then finally, I've got an email here. It says, please, Tony, please ask Congressman Rogers about jobs in Michigan. What is he doing to help us get more jobs in the state of Michigan?
Yeah, you bet. And that's the thing that we spend the most time on here. And the one thing that's happened over the last few years is there's so much uncertainty into the economy. Think about the health care bill. Small businesses have no idea what their costs are going to be 3 months from now, let alone next week on that. There's been a slew of new regulation on businesses that add costs. And the tax issue that was hanging over businesses' head late last year put a whole nother layer of uncertainty into the economy. So our goal to try to get the economy revving up back in Michigan is to come up with ways that we can reduce the cost and burden for an employer to hire an employee. And the best government program we've got going on in the world is having the private sector, a private business, hire somebody. And we've got to get back to that notion that that's where the fix is. And so what we're trying to do is go back and we're looking at every new regulation and saying, how does that hinder you and how does that stop you from hiring somebody? What is this new cost the federal government imposed on you in the last couple of years that has stopped you from hiring somebody? And we're going to go in through systematically and roll it back and put certainty in the economy. And when there's certainty, a small business knows what my cost is going to be this year. It's easier for me to factor in how to hire somebody. And that's what our intention is, to get people back to work in our great state.
All right, Congressman, I went 3 minutes late. Tell Dave Yonkman I owe him a couple of cups of coffee. But as always, we appreciate your time. I know you're busy. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Thanks for taking the time. And I've always enjoyed talking to you. Okay.